Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. That's right after the books of Psalms and Proverbs, the books of Psalms and Proverbs. Then you'll find Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And we're going to read one verse this morning. That's verse 1, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. As our custom is, when we read just one verse, I'll read aloud, you'll read along silently, and then the second time we'll read together in unison. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. Please stand to your feet as you're finding your place this morning, if you're able, in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Now let's read together, please. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Father, we do thank you for the verse, and we thank you for the message that's to come. Lord, you know what you've laid on our pastor's heart to bring to us this morning. Now help it to be effective in our lives. Help us not to be just hearers of the word, but doers of it this morning. Use Pastor Johnson, anointing with thy Holy Spirit power to help us today. And Father, if there's somebody in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray before they leave this room, they'll get that settled. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, we'll ask again that you make sure you're cell phones and things are turned off so they don't go off during the service. We would appreciate the lack of aggravation. Thank you. Have you noticed the seasons are changing? Oh, yes. Nice, cool morning this morning. That southerly breeze came up and you can just tell, Lord willing. Of course, in Reading you never know, but Lord willing, the heat has been broken. And now the cooler season is coming. To everything there is a season. Ecclesiastes is a book written by a man who accomplished and attained a lot of things in his life. As a matter of fact, Solomon, I was talking about him in my class this morning. Solomon is the richest, wisest, most famous man of his day. In fact, if you take the riches of Solomon, just what he accumulated in wealth, no one has ever accumulated as much money as he. Nobody. And position. He's the king of Israel. But not only that, he was a very wise man. And people traveled from all over the world. This is pre-Google days. People traveled from all over the world just to sit down and ask him questions. So he was wise and he was famous. He had possessions like you cannot believe. He built the great Solomon's Temple. It took him 7 years to build it. They say no structure ever built by man has ever equaled or rivaled how much it took in just gold to build Solomon's temple. They say that if you took all the gold that was in Solomon's temple, it would have taken every bit of gold on the earth known to man at the time to just put inlay in rooms and gold. I mean, this structure, 7 years, is incredible. It was the temple for God. But he spent 13 years building his own house. Had a 200-man personal choir, pre-stereo days, or iPad days, or iPod days, or whatever those things are called. So when he wanted someone to sing, he'd say, bring them in the choir. And he had 200 people, men and women, who would come in, and they would sing for him at his own private zoo. But not only that, Solomon, it says in Ecclesiastes, he said, whatever I saw that I wanted, I took it, or I bought it. He had... He had money, he had possession, he had power, he had wealth. Now they say that Solomon was a very wise man, but this one statement kind of leaves me in question. He had 1,000 wives. Not sure he was that intelligent. Nothing wrong with having a wife. 999 too many of them, however, does create somewhat of an issue. Can you imagine that? 700 of them were princesses, daughters of royalty in the world. They say if he did a wedding every week to marry them, it took him 13 and a half years of weddings every week to marry all 700 wives. Then he had 300 concubines. Said 1,000 wives. So this man has, let's call it this, he had the package. Okay? There's certain things. If you ever read this book of Ecclesiastes, you have to remember now, though, that this is Solomon as an old man. He's coming to the end of his days. And he's looking at it. Now, listen carefully. He did not lose all that he had and then say this. He still had it all. He still had the position, still had the power, still had the wealth, still had 1,000 wives. He still had all this stuff now. And Solomon's most repeated statement in the book of Ecclesiastes is, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. He's not talking furniture. He simply said, this means absolutely nothing to me. And my life is empty. Now, I can see it right now, a lot of your faces. You go, not if that was me. If I had all that stuff, you got to be kidding me. I mean, if he's riding along in his chariot and he sees a mountain he wants, he bought it. He tried all kinds of things with his life. He tried everything from education. He attained every degree he could attain in his days. He even tried the dumb stuff, the liquor, the wine, women, and the song thing. He tried all kinds of things. He tried everything he could think of. Anything he heard of that sounded interesting to him, he tried it. If it looked good, he bought it. If it was something that he was told, you do this and your life will be full and rich. I don't think Tony Robbins lived then. You'll get it. And boom, he would do it. And he, listen, and not only that, this man was 100% successful at everything he attempted. All of it. He never failed at anything in his life that he had tried to attain for himself. So, hey, when you say this man's got the package, I mean he's got the self-life. He is like almost a bigger jerk than Donald Trump. Anyway, but I mean, he's really got this thing figured out. Okay, now listen. And in the midst of reading this book of Ecclesiastes, he looks at everything he has attained. He's sitting on a throne made out of solid ivory, overlaid with gold. It's got 12 lions around it, steps on it, thousands of servants. His horses eat from solid gold horse troughs, feeding and water. And he's got 1,500 different kinds of horses. He looks at everything he's attained and he goes, you know what? It doesn't mean anything to me. And then Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1 is a little statement here that he needs us to hear today, and God wants you and I to hear today, and it's in relation to this thing about seasons. To everything there is a season. Now what does that tell us? That tells us this. That means everything, ladies and gentlemen, has its time and its place. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Summer doesn't last forever unless you're in a drought. Summer doesn't last forever. Eventually fall comes. Listen, eventually things change from one thing to another thing to another thing. To everything there is a season. And everything in life has a season to it. In other words, everything in life has the changing of times and events. Everything does. So then this concept this morning, I want to leave you with a very simple thought today about this thing of the seasons of life. To everything there is a season. Sometimes you ever get to that place in life where you think, this is whatever I'm in right now is never going to end. Of course, we never say that when things are good now, do we? We only say that when times are tough. This is never going to end. It's just going to always be like this. To everything there is a season. There is a spring, summer, fall, winter to everything. It won't be too long now until the leaves change and they fall off the trees and then the winter comes. It won't be too long until we'll see the seasons change. Now, out here in California, we don't get as much of the seasonal change as you do other parts of the country. I remember when the first time I lived in the Midwest, I'm a native Californian, born and raised here. And I remember living in the Midwest for the first time, and I saw the change of the seasons. And they were more distinct and clear. But one thing is for certain, those beautiful fall leaves are not going to stay on those trees. They're coming off. Winter will come. And then everything will look kind of cold and dead for a while, but then the buds begin and spring comes. To everything there is a season. Now please listen this morning. That means to everything there is a season to our lives. Now here's a deep theological thought. Nobody's staying the age that they are. And if you ever wonder, just ask the people who are around you, and they'll let you know that you're not as young as you used to be. We had an activity with the teenagers in the park the other night. I got the crazy idea of playing a little basketball. Now, wait a minute. Let me get there. So first thing I did was I made sure I played some kids I know I could beat. Two junior hires about that tall, as a matter of fact. Now, actually, believe it or not, I do go to the gym and exercise regularly. So I thought, well, a little basketball is not going to hurt me. And at the time, it didn't. The next morning, I prayed for mercy. I could not figure out the next day why I was so sore. I mean, I do. I exercise and I work and stuff like that. I try to do a little bit about, you know, people say you're trying to get in shape, Pastor Johnson. I am in shape. Round is a shape, people. Let's just get that straight right off the bat. But I couldn't understand why after just 45 minutes of basketball with these boys and shooting a little hoop and goofing around, that kind of stuff, that was Friday. Saturday, I was really sore. I'd hurt muscles I hadn't been using. And you find out when you're 61 years old, it ain't the same as when you were 22. I can still do what I did when I was 22. It just takes like 2 weeks. I can get there. The idea, though, is this. Now, please, the season of our lives, we need to understand to everything there is a season. There is a season to the life that you have. I know when we're younger, we kind of get the idea that that's the way it's always going to be. We'll always be this age, always this energy. Blah, blah, blah. And as we get a little bit older, we mature some, we grow up, we figure out that's not really how it's going to always be. And things do change. And I guarantee you it's mostly men who have this problem, where we think we can still do at 60 what we did when we were 20. You'll pay a price for that. You will. You'll try some stuff you know you should not. I quit playing full contact sports. I did. I played full contact golf, but I mean, I quit playing full contact sports. I know I can't do what I used to. I know that. That part of life has passed me by. Now listen carefully. But see, this thing, a season of our lives. You do understand if you've got any wisdom about life, you're not going to wait until life gets past you to start evaluating the life that you have. There's a simple question in the book of James you and I need to ask and answer regularly in our lives, and that is this. What is your life? The Bible says it is a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. Just like that, we're on this earth and we're gone. You say, well, that's down the road. I don't have to think about that. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a season to our lives. That youthful day is not going to be here forever. And it's not like it's no good. I would not want to go back and be 20 years old again. I don't want to reclaim 60. I'm 61. In a couple weeks, I'll be 62. And when 61's over, I'm good with that. I'm not one of those kind of people who, you know, sits around and decries my lost youth. Sits around and thinks about, oh, what used to be and how life used to be. You know, the truth of the matter is I look back on my life, and what I do now more than anything else is this. I take an evaluation of the life I am living now. You see, to everything there is a season, because this life right now, 61 years old, is just about gone. We're at the end of the month of August of 2015. Are you not figuring it out? That time seems to pick up, and rapidly, more rapidly, it is passing. The question is this, what is your life? Have you even thought about that? Have you taken time to do so? Have you considered before God what your life is? Someone once said years ago, your life is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift to Him. And you're not your own. You were bought with a price. If you're a child of God this morning, you're a Christian. God help us today that we have so many Christians today who are living their life for themselves. They've got their own goals. They've got their own agenda. They've got their own life. And they squeeze a little Jesus and God in on the side. And somehow or another, that's supposed to be life today. That's not what the Christian life is supposed to be. You're not your own. You are bought with a price. The Bible says you're supposed to present yourself a living sacrifice, completely giving yourself to the Lord and doing what He wants you to do with that life. But you know something, dear friend? This thing about the life that you have and the life that God has given you, do you understand this morning that it is very important you realize that you do something with this life? Because all too soon, it does come, and all too soon, you have more years behind you than ahead of you. What is your life? Have you considered that? Have you considered what is your life in the next life? Now, I would hope and anticipate everybody in this room's got many more good years ahead of you. But what if today you step out into eternity? Today. What if today you leave this place, this church, and you walk out and get in your car, vehicle, transportation, whatever it may be, and before the end of this day, you're in eternity. Then what? The Bible says that this life is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. That is why it is essential that each and every person in this room knows for certain that they have eternal life. John chapter 3, 36 says, "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Salvation, eternal life, is a have or have not proposition. You either have salvation by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you don't have it. And until you do, you don't have it. And that's not about church. It's not about baptism. It's not about religion. It's about you making a decision to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Savior. What is your life about in relation to eternal life? What is your life in relation to this one here? It seems to me like in this day and age, after 35 years of ministry, it seems to me that I come across more disgruntled people about their life. I ask them, how's it going with you? How are you doing? How's everything? And I'm telling you what, ladies and gentlemen, it is so rare to find somebody who is actually, they actually sense that their life has meaning, has purpose, and has a reason. Yeah, I know what my meaning is. My meaning is to pay the bills. My purpose is to go to work so I can pay the bills. And my purpose in life is, and that's it. That's all. Look at me. That's all. Thank God you go to work, because for the people who don't, we need you. But the truth, they need you, not we, by the way. They need you. But excuse me, but that's it. We put on the harness, we go to work, we do our jobs, we do that, and that's our life. That's it. That's okay. Now, please listen. Thank you for working. But the point is this, is that it? Is there any purpose to your life? Is there any purpose to your day? Say, well, I'll get around to it one of these days. But life won't wait on you to do that. What is your life? You must know the seasons change. To everything, there is a season. And the next thing you know, your life gets away from you. The next thing you know, life was passed you by. The next thing you know, the life you could have had, you'll never know because you didn't evaluate it in light of what God wanted you to do. You see, ladies and gentlemen, this thing about salvation is trusting Christ. Knowing what life is about doing God's will for your life. Because He said in Romans 12, 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That ye may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. See, if I yield the life I have and give it to Jesus and live for Him as best as I know how according to His word, I'll come to find out what my life really should be. I'll come to find out the will of God is good. I'll find out it is acceptable. I find out it is perfect. But you don't want to let life get away from you and then turn around and go, okay, now I'll try it. Now's the time to do it. You say, well, I'm 75 years old, Pastor Johnson. What do I have? You're still breathing. You're still alive. You still have something God has for you. There's no way to pass this thing up. God has something for each and every person. But the thing about life is, it's not going to wait on you. Time will not wait. The years will not wait. To everything, there is a season. There is a season to our lives. Number two, to everything there is a season. There's a season to what life brings to us. I love this time of year. Why? It's the season of fresh fruit. I think I ate a half a watermelon yesterday. It's just water. Cantaloupe, peaches. Oh, peaches. Yes? Fresh fruit. And you take those peaches and slice them up, cover them with brown sugar, make a pie crust or a peach cobbler. Ooh, can I get a witness on peach cobbler this morning? Oh, yes. See, what happened to fresh fruit? It's still fresh. It's right there in that cobbler, just as fresh as it could be. And homemade ice cream? You never make homemade ice cream in December. You only make it in the summertime. Ooh, then you put a pile of homemade ice cream on top of that peach cobbler, and it starts to melt and kind of nurdle down in there, and that crisscross crust that you had with the big rough grated sugar on top of that, and that ice cream kind of goes down inside of there. And then if you're really good, you sprinkle a little caramel on top of that, maybe, something like that. See, what happened to fresh fruit? It's in there. Oh, yeah. A couple of months from now, we'll be eating apples. Fresh fruit will pass. You understand, dear people, this morning, please listen. There is a season to what life brings to us. So when the blessings of God come to our life, you better enjoy them while they're there. Yeah, I'm waiting on it, Pastor Johnson. Then you missed them already this morning. God blessed you this morning. Did you see it? He did. He blessed you this morning. You know why? You're here. You got a bed. You were able to come to church. You had a church to go to. You have a Bible to hold in your hand. Listen, you live in America. God's already blessed you a bunch today. See, we're letting this season of life, what life brings to us. No, we're always thinking about tomorrow and the burdens of tomorrow and the battles of tomorrow and the stuff of tomorrow. And we're in the day today. Jesus said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We ought to get everything out of the day God gives us and enjoy the richness and the blessings of it. And don't let it pass you by. No matter what the things are. God has all kinds of different blessings to bring your way day by day. But then, see, what he blessed me with today, he's got a different set today. Yesterday, he has a different set for today. Don't let the seasons of his blessings pass you by. What life brings to you, there's a season to that. That peach cobbler with the ice cream on top of it and the caramel, and then maybe a little whipped cream too. But anyway, you eat that. You know what that means. That's 2 hours in the gym. Oh, yeah, at least. And you know why you do 2 hours in the gym? Because you ate cobbler. So you can have some more the next day and go back the next day and do 2 more hours. When it's there, I'm not going to do that. You people sit there and go, I feel so bad about eating that pie. Well, then don't eat it. Give it to me. I'll enjoy it. Okay? You people are nuts. You got guilt about, I ate French fries and I felt awful. Don't do that. Enjoy the French fries. Live with the consequences, but enjoy the French fries when they come. When the blessings of God, see, Pastor, how come everything you have blessings related to food? Because that's just how I think. The truth of the matter is, no, I was blessed today. I was blessed so many different ways this morning. That cool morning God gave us, first time down, the coolness got down into the 50s here in our valley, and sometime, and some clear skies, and that sort of thing. Oh, my. Now look at me. Some of you folks, you get a pinch face because you go right past the blessing of God and all you think about are the burdens of your life. To everything, there is a season. And whatever life brings to us, my friend, enjoy those blessings when they're there. Oh, by the way, and when the trials and testings come, there's a season to that too. James chapter 1 says, think it not strange of the fiery trials which are to try you. Why is it we think it's so strange when we go through a trial and testing like nobody else has ever had that? Well, you get that isolation in your thinking. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going through in my life. Well, I appreciate that, but now listen to me, friend. Somebody else has already walked that one. Someone else has already lived there, and someone else has gone through that, and by and large, many have gone through much worse. Don't you understand? The trial and testings of life that come to us. There's a season to that too. Yeah, they come, and they do. So don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Why do we have to have these struggles in our life? Because everybody has them. That's why. There's no other answer for it than that. But see, here's the issue. What you need to understand is when trials and troubles come to your life, you need to do what Job did. When Job had lost everything in one day in his life, and then his health was destroyed, and then everybody turned against him, Job's attitude was, I came into this life with nothing. It looks like I'm going out with nothing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God's been awful good to me up till now. I can take trouble for a little while. It's okay. And listen, and if you are a child of God, your troubles are no longer than this life. It's guaranteed. Everything this life will do to you, will do it here, not there. So our prospects are good. Even in trials, we have opportunity to understand this is not how it's always going to be. There's a season to those things. You have lived long enough to look back now a few years, haven't you? And seen those great trials that put you in those deep valleys. And after a while, how that God brought you out of that. And then you say, but there was just another valley on the other side. Ah, but he brought you out of that one to get you ready for that. Don't you understand? There is a season for everything. And what life brings to us, there's a season to that. You just stay faithful to God and do what's right. God will bring you out of this. Don't waste time on what if. Or what should be. Well, I'll tell you what ought to be, Pastor Johnson. That's foolishness. Why do we do that to ourselves? It's like life is supposed to be some kind of a video game. There's no reality in that. The truth is, it is what it is. Our Spanish-speaking friends have it nailed down right. Es lo que es. It is what it is. It's just what it is right now. For some of us, it's the valleys. For some of us, it's the trials. For some of us, it's the midnight. For some of us, it's the battles. For some of us, it's the struggles. For some of us, that's the way it goes. And by the way, every one of us will be there at some time or another. But to everything, there is a season. You can't freeze watermelon. You can, but it's no good when it thaws out. It's nasty. So you got to get it while the getting's good. And after it's gone, that's it. And the truth is, nobody wants watermelon in December anyway. Then it's time for cookies. Anyway, the point is, to everything there is a season. Don't waste time on what if or what should be. Just realize this too shall soon pass. To everything there is a season. That means this. Please listen, I'll finish. There is a season to this time in which we live. I wish people would use their biblical minds to look at the world in which we live today and see what's happening in this world. And I wish we would look at it with a biblical view and understand that this life and the way it's going now is not the way it's always going to be. And everything is coming together for one great cataclysmic event for this world, but great hope for the child of God. And that is, Jesus is coming soon. In his day, Jesus' day, he was telling the people one day in Luke chapter 12, he said, you know what, you can look out there at the sky and see it's red in the morning and you know it's going to be heat that day. Or you can look at the sky and see clouds and you know storm is coming. He says, you hypocrites, you can see the weather and know how it's going to be and you don't even understand the time in which you live. Simply meaning this, Jesus walked among them and most people didn't even pay attention to who he was. Unless he was feeding them or healing somebody. They were there for the show of it all, you know. But they missed the fact that Jesus Christ walked among them. They missed the time of his being here. That would have been a great day, Pastor Johnson. No, it wouldn't. You wouldn't want to live then. No, you wouldn't. Some of you folks, you couldn't handle the fact you couldn't live in a day without toilet paper, without an iPhone, without some electronic device of some kind. You couldn't live like that. You could never get to that place in your life. Now listen to me carefully. But see, this day in which we live today, this is a season time right now. And you know what we're seeing? We're seeing the clouds gathering on the eastern horizon now. Oh, I'm not talking about rain. I'm talking about the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. All the events of prophecy are now fulfilled. Everything is done. The world is shaping into the exact form that God said it would be before Jesus Christ would come back. And the season of man right now, oh man is really pumping himself up. Man is so important. Man is so centered of everything. Man is this and man is that. No, 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 no. Not forever. Jesus Christ is coming again. And the trump of God will sound. The dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remain will call up together. And we're going to meet the Lord in the air. 7 years later, we'll return with him. And he'll set his foot down on this earth and rule and reign from Jerusalem's throne without United Nations permission. And Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh, the seasons are changing, all right, my friend. And man thinks he's everything, but in truth, Jesus Christ is coming. And to everything, there is a season. There's a season to this time in which we live. Don't miss it. You and I live in the most exciting time for a human being to walk this planet. It's an amazing day today. See, yeah, brother, you look at that iPhone 6. Now soon an iPhone 7, I understand. When are you going to figure it out? Huh? By the time 20 years from now, it'll be an iPhone 32. And they'll still be charging $1,000 for that, and knuckleheads will still go out and spend $1,000 to get a phone that can read the heartbeat of a wildebeest in Africa. I mean, think about it, people. How serious are we today? And how much do we need all this stuff in our lives? And we think that's what makes life exciting. Ah, ridiculous. We've never been more connected with the world and more disconnected with each other in the history of mankind. We got people can't even go out and have a meal together. Some idiot pulling out their phone, probably texting the person sitting in front of them. So how's the meal? Talk to them. People more disconnected in life than they've ever been before. Got all these imaginary friends out of social media. We got all this stuff going on. People can't even converse any longer. If we keep using texties, it won't be long until the English language will disappear. Because people will not know how to spell A-T. They'll only know what the symbol looks like. No, that's not what makes life exciting. What makes life exciting is this. Every day I wake up and I think, this could be the day today. Today. There's nothing between me and Jesus than a heartbeat or a trumpet sound. This could be the day today. This is the time. The Bible says, Jesus admonished people, lift up your eyes, for your redemption draweth nigh. Yeah. Yeah, there's a season to this time. And this season is passing very quickly, and soon things will change. Can I ask you a question? What does that mean to your life? We go to church, we hear about the second coming of Christ, we go, that's nice, and we go home. You're kidding me. Every time I go to Walmart, I'm standing there and I'm thinking to myself, I don't want the Lord to come back right now. I'm standing in Walmart again. Nothing wrong with going to Walmart. But that's not where I want to be when he comes back. Right now would be good. Here I am in church, preaching the Bible. The trump of God sounds. You'll be really glad if you're in church when he comes back. You'll still go. Even if you're not in church, you'll still go. Some of you will be grabbing your boat and trying to take it up there with you. I guarantee you that. It'll happen. But the point isn't so much this. That is this. Very carefully. Please listen. And that is, to everything there is a season. It's constant flux and change. Is your life uncertain because of that? Or do you see the certainty of what God has for you, for your life? Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.